Welcome back to Equal Time. I'm Carl Ettenayer, your host here on Monday. And coming up, we are scheduled to be talking with Tom Skazi. He's the author of Revolution in a Bottle, How TerraCycle is Redefining Green Business. And we'll continue to try to get a hold of him. We have a confirmation that he'll be on with us today and just need to make sure we hook up. In the meantime, if you'd like to, let's consider this open phones. If you'd like to call in about something on your mind, our number is 244-1777 or toll free 877-291-8255. And just wanted to plug energybulletin.net. If you spend any time on the web wondering where to go to find out more about the themes that I raise on my Monday Equal Time program on energy, food, and the local economy at the end of the age of oil, a lot of the stories I find on energybulletin.net. It is a news aggregator service, so that they take some original writing. Mostly they take excerpts from newspaper articles, videos from TV channels and things like that from around the world, from blogs. And I just have in front of me something called More Choices at Garden Farm Markets by Gene Logsdon. Gene Logsdon is a longtime writer about producing your own food in a contrary farmer sort of way, in a way that minimizes the inputs, minimizes the cost of production, and even though the harvests might not be as much as the big guys get, the overall economy can be very good and also pretty satisfying. So anyway, Gene Logsdon's article about more choices that are present at garden farm markets right now is one of the featured stories at energybulletin.net today. So if you get a chance, go take a look at that. Now we do have Tom Skazi on the line, and Tom, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Am I pronouncing your last name correctly?
It's Zaki, but it's all good.
Zaki.
No okay. One ever gets it right, so you're in a good group.
Okay, thank you. And the PR material that I've seen says that you're a 27-year-old entrepreneur, but that sometimes changes. Can we still say that?
Well, no, I'm still 27 for a while, so
okay.
That's absolutely accurate.
Okay, so why don't you begin by telling us why you dropped out of an Ivy League university to sell worm poop?
Well, I mean, so yeah, I was going to Princeton my freshman year, and my friends, they were growing these plants in their basement in Montreal. I'm originally Canadian, not American, and so, you know, I went up to Montreal to visit my friends and check out their plants. Obviously, you know, I was very excited about this, and when I got there, the plants were growing way better than I ever expected, and it was primarily due because they were feeding worm poop to these plants. And what was amazing more than all that was that they were taking organic waste and feeding it to the worms. That's how they were actually making the worm poop itself. And that got me incredibly excited about this idea of garbage. You know, garbage is an idea that doesn't exist in nature. It's an entirely man-made concept. And we're basically paying to get rid of garbage and producing a negative all the way around, economical, environmental, social negative. And so I got really into the idea of garbage. Within 6 months, I ended up dropping out of school to build TerraCycle, which started as a worm poop company. We still do make worm poop, and we're the leaders in, you know, organic fertilizer today. But from there, it really grew and ballooned to a company that solves for every type of waste out there, whether it's juice pouches or candy wrappers or sponges or tape dispensers. I mean, TerraCycle more or less is the solution for all garbage. And we're doing that waste stream by waste stream.
That's an ambitious agenda. There must be some types of garbage that are not really designed to be broken down. And how do you deal with those?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, we just actually inked a deal with a major, I think if not the biggest, then it's the second biggest pen company in the world. And we're going to start collecting pens. And pens is a great example where it's not an easy product to deal with. There's so many different plastics and metals and rubbers in a pen that what we do in these complex materials is we do what we call deassembly recycling. So we deassemble the pen into its basic components, just basic material components, And then everything, when you get a lot of anything, it's easy to solve for. So then we recycle it and make it into a product. At this point, frankly, TerraCycle has not seen a waste stream it could not work with. And I mean, we've seen a lot of different things and are working with a lot of different things. And so far, there's not been one that we couldn't solve. And what's interesting, just to sort of touch on this a little bit, is that there are three basic ways that every type of waste in the world, as long as it's consumer-type waste, can be solved. A lot of things can be upcycled, and that means taking a juice pouch and sewing it together like we do with Capri Sun, or taking a Frito-Lay chip bag and weaving it, or, you know, so on and so forth. The idea of upcycling is that you don't break down the material in any way. You value every part of the waste as value, and you make a product from it. With rigid packaging, you can refill with a different content, like our worm poop or our cleaners. All of TerraCycle's liquids are actually packaged in new soda bottles. We have yogurt cups that we're putting out in the marketplace that are doubling as planting pots. And these are all done, mind you, in very big scales, you know, sold at Walmart, Home Depot, Target, these really big box retailers. And then complex polymers, or complex products, if you will, razor blades, coffee cartridges, pens, furnace filters, all go into what we call assembly recycling, and every type of waste basically can be solved in one of those three ways.
Okay, I got upcycling, I got assembly recycling, and is just reuse the third one in the middle?
I would say refill. Yeah,
refill.
But it's refill with a different content. And one way to look at this is, like, what's the difference between a chapstick tube and a glue stick? Really, you know, I think the only difference is just the content of what's in it. Everything else is exactly the same. And so we look for these similarities and package, you know, different content in rigid packaging.
What about just taking beer bottles and filling them up with beer again?
Well, that's reuse. But, you know, one of the challenges is that especially one of the largest waste streams out there is food-type waste stream, food packaging. Mm. And food packaging cannot be reused except in the odd case of, like, glass, which can be refilled. And there's already a great infrastructure for that. But in any plastic food packaging, which is what over 90% of how our food is packaged, plastic cannot be reused because of the way the FDA has its guidelines, for great reasons. It's hard to make it completely safe from a consumer perspective if you just repackage food. So repackaging is and reuse from that perspective is very limited in what is legally allowed to be done.
Yeah, you can subject glass to some pretty severe heat treatment that most plastic packaging probably wouldn't stand up to, I would guess.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically not feasible, as an example, to take a plastic Coke bottle and refill it with Coke again.
But the worm poop, because people are not going to consume the worm poop, at least they're advised not to by the label, I assume, then you can fill that into the plastic Coke bottle.
Right, exactly.
Now, I used to live over in Sweden and Norway, and there they had, for the equivalent of 12-ounce beer bottles and soda bottles, they were really closer to 11 ounces, they had standardized bottles, so it really didn't matter which bottler or beer brewer you bought from. They were pretty much the same bottles. They could be used interchangeably, and that made for a really robust recycling system. If we had a system like that in the U.S., would that make your job harder, or would that just... Or easier? I could see that it might, you know, drive you out of a niche in the market.
Well, put it this way. We're working on every type of branded waste out there. Even in advanced countries, and, you know, especially in Europe, which has probably one of the most advanced recycling infrastructures out there, the amount of stuff that can be recycled is still a small percentage compared to the stuff that cannot be recycled. So even if there's great solutions that come up in the world of recycling, I welcome them and hope they happen. It takes a little bit away from us, but nothing that would affect us in any way.
There's enough garbage to go around out there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. A chip bag in any country in the world is not recyclable unless TerraCycle is bringing its program forward.
We're talking with Tom Zaki. He is the author of Revolution in a Bottle, How TerraCycle is Redefining Green Business. You're tuned to WDEV. This is Equal Time. I'm Carl Ettenayer. Join us at 244-1777 if you'd like to be part of the conversation, or toll free 877-291-8255. 5-5. So, Tom Zaki, you said that you have been able to solve every challenge, to do something useful with every waste stream that you've come across. What are some of the biggest challenges you've faced?
Honestly, it's the more complex waste streams are a little bit more challenging. The two most recent examples have been pens and razor blades and razors. Both of those we end up doing, the deassembly work with. But once we really invented the idea of going after and deassembling waste and recycling it, which is actually not our unique idea, but once we started incorporating that solution, then it became very easy to solve for most type of waste out there. It's hard to say that there's really been, a challenge that has been insurmountable, because actually the type of stuff that we throw out isn't all that complicated to begin with. The consumer-based products are pretty simple in how they're made and how they're packaged. A lot of plastic. It's a tremendous amount of plastic that's used. And as long as you can figure out how to work with these different plastics, you're absolutely fine.
So what did you do with the pens? What did you do with the pens once you took them apart on all these different plastics and metals in them?
Well, what we do then is we sort out the plastics and metals by their polymer type. So we'll separate, say, polypropylene from PET, these two different plastic formats, into separate buckets. And then once we've accumulated enough of those raw materials, we then sell them to another company that then makes new products out of them under the TerraCycle brand. So, you'll see a line of trash cans next year that are made from recycled pens, literally.
And will they be exclusively recycled pens, or might I get a recycled bicycle water bottle or something like that in there as well?
We typically will keep the waste streams in the finished product. We keep them sort of together, if you will. We don't mix too much of them together. So we're going to be releasing a trash can next year that's made from 100% melted chip bags, which has never been done before.
Hmm.
And then we'll do a different one out of PET.
Hmm. So how come no one's done this before? Or have they?
They haven't, because they haven't. It's not about... The hard part here, frankly, isn't how do you solve for garbage. The hard part is how do you get the garbage to begin with.
Hmm.
And that's the big revolution in TerraCycle, is that today you can go to TerraCycle's website, TerraCycle.net, sign up to collect any waste stream you want to collect. Let's say you sign up for chip bags or candy wrappers or juice pouches, whatever you want. We then send you a box. You fill it up with, a lot of juice pouches, chip bags, or candy wrappers, whatever the waste stream you signed up for, and you can sign up for more than one. You then send it back. The shipping is free to you or to your group. You can sign up your office, your school, whatever. And when we get it, we then go, I think, a little bit above, and we even donate 2 cents per unit of waste to your organization for collecting the garbage. And it's sort of like perpetual reverse Netflix for garbage. We'll collect about 1 billion units of waste this year from about 5 million people across the country, and this program is doubling in size every 6 months. And what's really cool about this entire thing is that it's the big companies like Kraft, Mars, Frito-Lay, and our other really amazing large company partners who pay for all this to happen. So it's one thing to come up with the solutions for waste, but I'd argue that's easier than creating an infrastructure for collecting it all, and luckily that's what we've cracked in this whole idea. So, if you're listening, you can go to TerraCycle.net, sign up, and get paid to collect your garbage.
Why do these big companies like M&M Mars pay to have people send you their wrappers?
Because right now the candy wrapper has no choice on it. If I give you a soda bottle today, it doesn't mean you're going to recycle it or throw it out, but you have the choice to do one or the other. And I think something around 1 in 4 Americans choose to recycle, and 3 out of 4 choose to throw it out. But a candy wrapper doesn't have any solution. So Mars isn't giving that choice to their consumers. But now with TerraCycle, they are giving that choice in a very big way. And they're putting the program on their package. We're on around 2 billion packages right now with this message. And it's all about them giving the choice. And that is the really important part for all these companies, to create a choice for the consumer to do something other than throwing it out.
So they're using it as a marketing strategy.
Well, it is absolutely marketing, without question. But what they're finding is that spending money on creating a solution to their packaging, that dollar goes much further than if they spent that on another TV campaign.
Hmm.
And frankly, it's nice because it's also better for the environment.
Hmm. So you've got all this garbage being mailed to you from around the country, around the world. What do I know? Any legal restrictions on that?
Well, there's always some fun things. I mean, we're about to launch something with some pharmaceutical brands where there are restrictions on how it can be mailed. I mean, we have a whole department that deals with the transportation of waste and all its fun, you know, challenges. So, yeah, that's absolutely a part of it. But all in all, it's relatively simple. We also have our program now in the UK, Canada, Mexico, and Brazil. So we are taking it global and collecting, you know, larger parts of the world's waste every day. And hopefully, what we hope to achieve at the end of all this is to create a system where every type of waste in the world has a solution to it. And it can be collected and it can be made into something else. Because then if we do that, in theory, you can almost eliminate the entire idea of garbage that way. I know it's sort of a crazy idea, but it is possible if it's taken to its extreme.
About 20 years ago or so, there was a big to-do about the percentage of our landfill space that was being taken up by dirty disposable diapers. And I think the percentage was in the low single digits, but it was still seen as one of the bigger single waste streams heading to landfills. How would TerraCycle handle dirty disposable diapers?
You know, there may be one that we haven't actually thought about yet. We are partnering with one of the biggest diaper companies. You'll see this actually launching in 2 weeks or 3 weeks. But we're going to be collecting the plastic wrap that the diapers are packaged in, which is the easier part. There are solutions to diapers. The bigger challenge is the actual transportation. We haven't found a shipping company willing to actually ship dirty diapers through their system. We will crack that, and then at some point we'll be able to help bring a solution to dirty diapers, but not there yet. That's one that we haven't quite gotten to.
Well, I was working for more than 15 years in the water and wastewater industry, and you know, one of the things that I was working on was that the contents of dirty diapers are eminently recyclable. You said at the beginning of this show, Tom Zaki, there is no garbage in nature, and you know, what comes out of our body is not garbage, it's not waste, it's full of nutrients, and it's just a matter of finding a way to reuse it in a way that's safe for others.
No, absolutely. I think that's the key, is that people realize that garbage is an illusion. And we've created garbage because we haven't created solutions to it. That's the basic challenge. And when we start looking at waste differently and realize that these are valuable things we're throwing out and they all have really cool solutions to them, then we're heading somewhere cool. And a lot of this has to be business, because it's not like a consumer at home, you know, can solve everything on their own. Many times, you know, you can only really create a solution to something when you collect millions of it, because then you have enough to make it worth your while.
Well, here in Vermont, at least in northern Vermont, we've been going from a multi-stream recycling collection to a single stream, because they're up in Chittenden County, there's a MRT, I forget what it stands for, but basically a big sorting machine. And so that's made it easier for people just to throw everything together. It sounds like you're pushing people in exactly the opposite direction, to have lots and lots of little tiny streams, wrappers from individual candy manufacturers.
Yeah. Now, it's an important thing to note is that, like, our candy collection, any brand is acceptable in it.
Okay.
But we do distinct down between, like, a chip bag is a different box, the candy wrapper is a different box, a, you know, media like DVDs, VHS tapes are a different box. Mm. What we found, and this is maybe the best metaphor, is in nature, like, nature has all the solutions, right? And in nature, nature doesn't have a one-stop shop for all garbage. It's not like everything has the same solution. If a leaf falls off a tree, a different thing happens to it than if an animal dies in the forest. It's, in both ways, those are, in effect, waste of one system, also the raw materials for a completely different system. And, you know, a maggot may go and eat the body, and a
Hello?
Different Hello?
You still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we heard some very strange sounds, as if you were on a tape and the tape got scrambled. But okay, go ahead.
So the point is, in nature, you have different solutions for different types of waste. And that's the same thing that has to happen in the human system. So we believe strongly that separation is critical, and that you need to separate, you know, the waste out into its components, because then you can really work with it and create solutions to it. So, you know, there's two schools. One is, you know, put it all in one box and then it'll get separated at the recycling center. And the other, which is what we're trying to do, is we'll actually pay you to collect but we do ask you that you separate it into all its basic components. And I can tell you, people are very happy to separate. We've had no issues with that at all.
Hmm. Well, Tom Zaki, you describe in your book Revolution in a Bottle how you got started and built a national business built on selling worm poop. Now, here in northeastern Vermont, we have a couple sisters who have built quite a business selling worm poop. And they come on to WDEV occasionally. They go around to farmers markets and small places like that. You promote getting things into big box stores. On this show, I try to plug farmers markets and Main Street locally owned businesses. And one of the reasons for that is because with oil becoming more scarce and expensive, I don't think that we'll have the infrastructure to maintain the sort of global or even national shipping economy that we have right now. Could you comment on that?
It's a great question, and it's very ironic that in effect I am on your show today because we work with the exact opposite of that mainly. We sell our products in major big box retail, and we also work with the big giant conglomerates. Our theory on this, and I'm an environmentalist. I want to try to solve these things, and I think I share a lot of values that I think the ladies that you bring on your show that do the worm poop thing do as well. The first part of the question is that what we're trying to do is to create as much change in the world as possible, and if you really want to change business quickly, the only way, at least I know of how to do it quickly, that is to have the big companies change their practices. And so that's been one of our key focuses, is working with the biggest companies out there, from Kraft, to Mars, to Walmart, to Target, to try to get them to see the light and work with us, within our sort of, eco-capitalist mindset. And that's been very successful so far. And I think it goes over to the bigger question. I don't quite know, if at the end of the day oil is going to get so expensive that we're not going to be able to import product, from all over the world.
But 15 seconds, please. 15 seconds, please, Tom.
Oh, I'm sorry. So I think at the end of the day, we need to start by looking at how we can change the big companies. And if we can change them, then we can, in effect, quickly reinvent the way people do business and bring all these solutions to the table.
Tom Zaki is a founder of TerraCycle, a company that makes products entirely from waste. His book is called Revolution in a Bottle, and I imagine it's available at locally owned independent bookstores everywhere?
Yes, it's available at most bookstores across America.
Very good. Tom Zaki, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, the theme for today's show is how to turn products that people are not looking at as valuable into value. We have gleaning from the Vermont Food Bank. We have this whole company redefining green business by turning garbage into products that they sell with value added. So it's something that I'm sure we'll revisit in many different ways on this show in the future. I'm Carl Etner. That's it for Monday's Equal Time. I'll be back next Monday. We'll be talking with John Isham about the outcome and implications of their getting to 350 parts per million of carbon in the atmosphere conference. And we'll be talking all about the permaculture convergence taking place Independence Day weekend right here in East Montpelier. Travin will be in tomorrow. Anthony Polina is in on Wednesday and Thursday. Artie Levine produced the show, and AP Network News at the top of the hour, then music with Jack Donovan. Thanks for tuning in.